Oh, welcome to Aspire for October 30th, 2021. Can you hear it? Yeah. Yes. Oh, there's more. There's so much more. My special Halloween edition of Aspire.
I was working in the lab late one night.
Oh, yes.
My eyes beheld an eerie sight. For my monster from his slab began to rise. And suddenly, to my surprise,
he did the mash.
He did the monster mash.
Well, welcome to your Aspire for October 30th, 2021. Yes, next tomorrow, there will be more of this. I thought it would be fun to talk a little bit about fear. I get, of course, as you might know, lots of questions on fear. Fear is a big deal to most people. And it's an emotional thing that we like to get involved in. And people always wonder, you know, what is my fear all about? Why am I afraid? And when I ask people in session work, why are you afraid? What are you afraid of? They will say the common things, you know, survival, not being able to survive. Living alone is a big one. Death, of course, is one. So all of this coincides with how we live our life. And so what I try to do with individuals is help them go into what they're afraid of, not avoid it. And that's what this program's all about. And I'm welcoming you to my Halloween extravaganza here. Short as it may be, it's all I've got to share with you on all of this, this thing called fear. The first question comes from Sam in San Diego, California. Why do I need fear to do anything I should do? And he talks about how fear motivates him and how he needs fear to motivate him to do any given thing that he has to do. You know, fear, it's a sad thing to think that I need fear. It really is, and so many of us need it for, I don't know, getting through the day, motivating us. It's a certain anxiety that we like, certain painful anxiety that we tend to get from our childhood, believe it or not. Well, we become frightened when we are little. Do you remember when you were little and you had your first experience of fear? Do you remember it? Most people don't. And that's kind of the essence of it all, that they don't remember what their fears are all about or what fear is for them. But it's an interesting thought. When was the first time I, as a person, ever experienced anything that would be considered fearful? I will bet you 10 to 1 it will be something that happened to you with your parents, something that you didn't understand they were doing. It may not have been that they were being hostile. In a lot of cases, it does mean they were being hostile. But you will see as you go along, as you trip along memory lane, that a lot of our pain, a lot of our fears are based in things we didn't understand that our parents were doing. And like I say, they weren't maybe being hostile at all. It's just the whole idea of our body being threatened, our well-being being threatened, maybe hunger, maybe heat or cold or some extreme that we were put through that basically ignited the whole idea of fear. And once that's ignited in the brain, chemistries come around it and start perpetrating their values upon our mental and emotional state of mind. And we start moving into this anxiety. And fear is basically a deep and uncontrolled anxiety that most of us have. It's a bodily function. And I don't ever think that you should be ashamed of being afraid. Everybody becomes afraid at one time or another about something, the likelihood of something happening that may be very painful or may be the end of something that we treasure emotionally or psychologically. Fear is a constant in human beings. And the trouble with fear is that we use it as a form of entertainment. Yes. You know, slasher movies, Halloween movies, all the things that we get involved in that we think frighten us or make us feel threatened in some way or another, we do this. And we make it a form of entertainment, and it is a very silly thing that we do. It's a very difficult thing we do, because when I make my fear my entertainment, then I'm setting into motion a precedent in my body where the hormones, the all of the chemicals in the back of my brain, serotonins, all of that start working on me, and they're triggered by certain things that the mind brings up that have to do with bringing about the chemistry. The mind doesn't really mind, as it were, being afraid. It wants to bring up that emotional pattern that we've gotten involved in when we were little. And there is no definition of this. There's no way to define what we're afraid of. I have sat for a long, long time penetrating into my fears and what it was I was deeply afraid of when I was little. Punishment, misunderstanding, all sorts of things that we all suffer from when we're little. And it's the natural state of the human body to be in fear most of the time. Even as you're listening to this, there is a subtle form of fear in the background. And so when you start to think about fear, you start to realize that the only time you and I do anything that is maybe what we should, pay our taxes for the fear of being thrown in jail, or stop at a stop sign for the fear of getting a ticket, or worse, things like that, crossing a street, you know, looking both ways for the fear of getting hurt. Although in my little village here that I live in, people don't look at all anymore. They just cross the street. They think that, you know, nothing's going to happen. We need fear to show us danger. It's a primitive side of us. It's a human reaction. And if you read Sapiens or Homo Deus, you will realize that these very integral actions and reactions, instincts, play a very big part in our daily living. And it's important that they're there, because our emotions are there to show us danger, to intuit danger. And like I say, this is what primitive humankind looked like and still does. It's just the way we're built. But to take fear to the extreme and apply it to attitudes or sentiments within us of emotionality, whereby we act and react strictly out of fear, is very dangerous, extremely dangerous, can cause illness. It's obviously a part of mental illness that we see in our country today. And more importantly, we miss the substance and the meaning of our life. And that is always what's missing with most of us. You can be highly successful in this world and still not know the meaning of your life, and still be very, very afraid. Sam, I hope that helped you a little bit. I've got tons of stuff on fear on the website if you ever are interested, in the commentaries and in my discourses. I hope that helped you. Please forgive me. Namaste. This one's interesting, and it's one, believe it or not, I get a great deal. This is from Raymond. He does not tell me where he lives. He said, I love God. Should I be afraid of God? And how does love relate to the fear of God? In other words, he's saying, should I fear God? Well, you can do what you want, okay? And if fear, if it is defined as a tremendous anxiety within you, maybe something that is threatening to your life, if you're going to use fear as a way to love, as a way to have respect, then your mentality needs it. I wouldn't do it that way. You'll never find the real truth of what the existence of creation is all about, but maybe that's not important to you at all. Maybe that's just not what it's about for you. But should you be afraid of God? That, being a God-fearing person, you know, to me, I'm sorry, it's so immature to feel fear of God that I can hardly stand it sitting here. What did Jesus say? What were his words on this? Almost to the, you know, end of his life. God is love. So are we to imagine that being God-fearing is a good thing? That being God-fearing is the way we should live? Being God-fearing is what is important? What should we, you know? What do you do with the master saying God is love, and yet our instincts and our human body saying, you know, we should fear God in order to love God? And that's the way the majority of people think about it. Got to be God-fearing. I hear it all the time. I get it in emails, you know, God willing, God-fearing. You know, I've been a God-fearing person. I hear that all the time at hospice. So maybe it isn't really about fearing God. Maybe the best way to overcome my fear is to penetrate so deep into the fear, really burrow in, breathe it in, breathe in your fear, breathe it in, watch how it works, see what it is, watch how the mind is manufacturing all the evidence that is necessary for you and me to feel a sense of fear. Maybe that's what it's all about. Maybe that is the cure-all. I use it that way. I take something I'm afraid of as a Gregory, and I penetrate deep inside of it, accepting it, bringing it into me. What is it that I am deeply afraid of? I am afraid of the end of the narrative of my life that I have manufactured through my ego. That is really what I have found. And when that narrative is threatened, when that story is revealed as merely a story, when I am no longer captivated by it because now I'm internally living it and realizing by breathing it in for what it is, observing it, it melts away because it is all an illusion and a delusion of old Gregory. So that's what fear is. And should you be God-fearing? Well, that's up to you. A lot of people need fear, you know, as Sam said, to do what they need to do in this world. And a lot of people need to be God-fearing for the fact of keeping them what they think of as being moral. I can't stop any of that, you know, for you. I can't talk you out of it. If you are a person of the body, you'll be a person of the senses. And if you're a person of the senses, then you're going to find that fear is a major part of your, well, your daily living. Oh, we're done. Oh, I thought I'd end on, since we're talking about fear, maybe a Ghostbuster. I'll see you tomorrow.
Something strange in the neighborhood. Who you gonna in the car.